There's a lot that people don't know about our guest on the cafe today, Yoko Ono. She grew up in a wealthy Japanese family that encouraged her interest in the fine arts. And despite her advantages, there were hardships as her family was forced to leave the U.S. and then to evacuate Tokyo during the Second World War. And Yoko spent time in a mental hospital suffering from depression. Upon her return to London, her art thrived and she met John Lennon at a major exhibition of her work. Yoko Ono was originally a controversial figure in rock because of her music with its dissonance and her wailing voice, and then she became controversial as the woman who broke up the Beatles. In her life after the death of John Lennon, she has been the keeper of his legacy and has still found time to make her own art. She has a new album of remixes by everyone from Flaming Lips to Anthony of Anthony and the Johnsons and Cat Power. This comes on the heels of remixes of two of her songs, Walking on Thin Ice and Every Man, Every Woman, actually topping the dance charts. I asked her if that was the beginning of the idea of opening her catalog to the artists who made the remixes for the new album, Yes, I'm a Witch.
Well, yes, in a way, it's true. Well, first, somebody did Open Your Box, and somebody came to me and said, well, is that all right to do Open Your Box remix? And I said, oh, okay, you know, because I was so busy doing my own album called Blueprint for Sunrise. Mm-hmm. And so I was steeped into that, so I didn't really care, you know. And then one day while I was in the studio, somebody said, oh, Open Your Box, you want to hear it? I said, okay. And I didn't expect anything. And when I heard it, I started crying because it was so beautiful. And I said, oh, somebody's finally understanding my work and, you know, my songs and music. And that was like, what, 40 years later or something? I don't know. So the things, it was very heavy, actually. And then Walking on Thin Ice was something that everybody wanted, you know, to remix. They all came to me and said, could we remix it? Could we remix it? I said, no. And the reason why I said that is because John and I did a very good job, and that was the last thing John did. And I had such an incredible sentiment about it. So I said, no, you're not going to touch that. You know, it's sacrilegious to touch that, you know, something like that. And well, that's how I felt. I didn't say that. But after Open Your Box, I said, hey, what's wrong with it? You know, so then somebody came for Walking on Thin Ice, and I said, okay, do it, you know. And so after the two, and maybe took another... Every Man Has a Man, which also became a number one. People started thinking, wait a minute, I can remix too, you know, kind of thing. And so all these sort of like superstars of the indie music all came to me, and I thought, my God, it's beautiful. I really respect them because indie music is the future, and it's a revolution, actually. After the 80s and 90s, sort of like a sanitized music that they were sort of required to make by the music industry, and the music was dead in a way. And so then now, because the social climate is so intense and everything, so the artists, you know, the artists usually get very, very powerful and start to wake up again when things are bad, you know. So they started to think, oh, okay, we have to be real. We have to be, you know, making true music, you know. And indie music is like really real, you know, give me some truth kind of thing, you know. And I just love it.
Well, you know, it's also interesting that now is the time technologically that this can happen as well, too. And I have to say, Yoko, you're in your 70s. Did you feel like, should I be doing this? Should I be trying to be with the younger people? Was there any thoughts?
Well,
like
I didn't think about it. I was the young one, okay? The thing is, when I was doing this music, you know, the kind of music I was making in the 60s and the 70s, well, let's start with the late 50s, 60s, 70s. I was the only indie in the world. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I'd love to talk a little bit about most people know your life since you met John, but in getting ready for this, there's so many things about your early life that I found out. You grew up in kind of an interesting contrast of privilege and hardship, both through your art.
But also the other thing is, yes, hardship, definitely, because, well, but I don't want to count the hardships, you know, because the thing is, I think it was all a blessing in disguise in a way. I think that, yes, the growing up aspect of it really affected me, probably. Even from the start, I was surrounded with people who were sort of powerful people. So-called powerful people in the world. And also, there were many artists in my family, too, artists and musicians, and they were, they believed in a kind of conservative music. and paintings and all that too. And so I was always feeling like an outsider. And I just had to do my own thing, you know. And so from the beginning, if I didn't have a rebellious nature, I would not have been what I am now. You know, it's that the rebellious nature really took me here. And so I'm just saying that not for my benefit so much as other people's benefit, in the sense that, you know, you should know that, you know, you should just keep on doing your own thing, and then you will finally survive. If you start to just conform to the society, I mean, society wouldn't care less about you. I mean, just, you know, you conformed, you know. But then the thing is, you lose yourself. So you have to keep on doing what you really feel that is important for yourself.
Did they support you when you ended up going to New York to study newer music?
Well, I think that no, it wasn't like studying new music. First of all, I was trained in music very early, like when I was four or something. There was a school that my mother put me into, which was early education of music, and it was very powerful there, and you know, it was good and everything. But I think that they were expecting that hoping that I would become an artist or a musician who believe in the conservative form of music and become very successful in the world or something. And of course, when once they found out that I was sort of cutting edge, you know, they just knew that I was not going to make it in the world. So they were a little bit disappointed, I think. But then the thing is, they did encourage me as a person. That, you know, that they were saying that there's nothing you can't do in the world. Basically, that's not the kind of message that most women are getting from their parents. And I was getting that sort of equal kind of attention that men would probably usually get, you know, sort of in a good way. I mean, parents, when they tell men, well, you better decide what you're going to be, you know, and you have to have a career or something. Well, they didn't do that to me, but they were saying that I could do anything that a guy could do just as well, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that was my mother, because my mother was a very good painter, but she fell in love and she succumbed to being a wife and a mother. So she was saying that, you know, don't ever be that. So it was very interesting, I thought.
Yoko Ono is our guest today. We're going to play some things from the Yes, I'm a Witch. I wanted to play the piece.
May I say this?
Yes.
Yeah, well, may I say this? That I love every song in there, every track that they made. I have so much respect for each one of them, because they are the superstars of the indie music now. And I feel that together with me too, that we represent the future.
Absolutely. Well, let's listen to, I wanted to play Peach's version of Kiss, 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 which is a wonderful piece of music to begin with. Now, how did you feel? were you honored that people mostly chose your vocals, or how did you feel about that?
Well, I was honored, of course, you know, but I was honored the fact that they even thought of a remix in my songs, because, I mean, they, you know, separately, independently, they're very popular bands and making great, great music. So, you know, well, they didn't have to do this. And also, I said, okay, here's my catalog, and, you know, you can choose any song you like. It's about 200 songs or something. So when they chose the ones that they wanted to do, each time I said, that? Oh, my God, that's beautiful. You know, like each time I got excited just by checking out what they selected.
Well, this is Ono with Peaches and Kiss, Kiss, Kiss.
Love, just one touch, touch will do. Touch,
That is Kiss, Kiss, Kiss from Ono from Yes, I'm a Witch with Peaches, one of the artists that has remixed Yoko Ono's work. And we're getting a chance to talk with Yoko about
it. And David,
this.
You know, David, you're just sort of saying, yes, I'm a witch, like it's nothing. I must. Yes. Yeah, right. Look, it's, you know, I must say that when I made that song, it was 1974, and I wrote the song and I recorded right away. And right away, people said, you can't put that out. You know, and it was really like at the time it was so controversial that it could have killed me or something. So I said, okay. And I never put that out. Mm. And now it's out in this form and I think, oh, it's so great, you know.
And it's a great way of actually bringing everybody's attention to all that right up front.
Well, it's a very important statement. Yes, I'm a witch, because people in those days were always thinking, that, oh, she's a witch, you know, she's a dragon lady. And so I turned around and said, yeah, okay, so I'm a witch. So what? You know, but at the same time, it was tongue-in-cheek too. But also, it was a very heavy message, actually, because, you know, all of us girls are witches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you say that, oh, dear, because the word witch has such a derogatory meaning to it. But say the equivalent of that in the male form is the wizard. Now, if you said I'm a wizard, you know, that means that they're very, very good. What does that mean? If it's a male form, it's great. If it's a female form, let's burn them, you know. I mean, that's a very important point, you see. And the thing is, witch is a magic thing, a magic person who's a witch. And all men are wizards. And we, human race, actually is a magical race. That's what I think.
Do you think that being female was a detriment to your art being accepted early on?
Oh, definitely. But at the same time, it's very strange because they denigrate women, but at the same time, women's singing was always very important, you know, and people loved to listen to women singing, which was like their mother singing a lullaby to them. I suppose it started with that, probably. But they loved it. But just like their mothers, you know, they love the mother, they love their mothers, but they denigrate the mothers too. Let's face it, you know that. But their fathers, they just put them, the fathers, on the pedestal. So what does that mean?
I was thinking about your art and your music, and a lot of your art is, it comes from ideas. It's very conceptual, but your music seems almost entirely emotional. Is that a good way to categorize it?
Well, I think that the fact that my concepts in all different fields, I mean, I do things in films and all sorts of places. But anyway, they are all very emotionally related too, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't express something that is, I'm a software person, you know. It's not hardware. You know, I don't express something that is mechanical. Everything comes from my heart, you know. It's to do with my heart and my heartbeat and then the blood.
Who changed whose music more when you met John?
Oh, you mean between us?
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, I don't think you can calculate that. I mean, we were together all the time, and we were not really concerned about who's influencing who. We just admired each other, which, I mean, I think that did a lot. They say that a person to be healthy, they have to get 3 compliments a day. Well, nobody's getting 3 compliments a day, but in certain form, you know, like the fact that somebody's always with you might be a compliment, or the fact that somebody writes a letter to you might be a compliment. You know, it's like you need 3 compliments a day, and none of us are getting that, so we're all desperate. We're like starved people, you know. And the thing is, the best thing about people who are in love with each other is the fact that they're complimenting each other all the time. And that's why we say, you know, that when you see lovers, and they really look beautiful. Suddenly they look beautiful because they're getting what they have to get. I think that John was always totally into my music to the point that, you know, he was a laughing stock for it, you know. And I was into his music, which was not, you know, nothing special really for other people. But at the same time, you have to understand that as a Beatle, he was very popular. But when he became an individual and, you know, sort of doing individual records, he was not that popular. And he felt that people did not understand Lennon the individual, maybe understood as one of the Beatles. So that when I loved his songs, he, you know, he appreciated that. So between us, we were sort of unappreciated to artists, and we had a kind of a real admiration society between us.
Yoko Ono is our guest today on the World Cafe. You brought this up earlier, and it's absolutely true that the music on this new album has its roots going back kind of into new wave in the 80s, and there is a...
Why are you saying 80s? I think 80s are starting of the death of music. You see, because the music industry really started to take a strong hold of it and wanted musicians to start making music that would sell. So like between 80s and 90s, they finally killed music. I mean, it was like a sanitized music world. And I think that that's what did it. But then the thing is now, the social climate is so intense and everything. And you know how artists really get to wake up and start to make good music when in adversity, so to speak. So they're starting to make indie music. And the indie music is a thing now, you know, and the future too. It's a revolution in a way. After the 80s and 90s.
Well, I was just going to mention punk and new wave, which are I see kind of as the antecedents of what's happening with indie world. And
that was like the outsiders in
right,
a way,
right.
And it was great. I was one of them. Okay.
Well, I was going to actually bring up what is seen as a quote where John heard Lena Lovitch and the B-52s and ran to a phone to call you to say that they're ready for us now.
I know.
did that happen?
Yes, I mean, he was so happy. He said, Yoko, listen to this, you know, and now you can breathe or something.
Well, let's listen to some more of this music. I wanted to play the Flaming Lips Cambridge.
Great.
Now tell me about what they took from this. What is?
Okay. So that I'm really surprised because, you know, somebody came and said, did you know that Flaming Lips want Cambridge 1969? I said, what? Well, they want to remix that one. I can't believe it. I don't know what they're going to do, but of course it's fine. And then I wasn't expecting anything really because, you know, when I did that actually in Cambridge, I was like full of it. I was really like, I'm the only genius in the world and this is great. And I did it. The audience were not looking like I was a genius. They were looking like, what, you know. And then afterwards, when we put that on a lacquer, oh, that sort of assault I got from it. So then John used to love that Cambridge 1969. So when we're in a car going cross country or something, he would say, let's play Cambridge 69. I'm saying, please don't do that, John, you know, whatever. And so this time I think, oh, my God, that's going to be on the record, you know. And then when I heard the Flaming Lips version, I thought, what an intelligent people. You know, they did an incredible thing. And I was totally amazed.
Talking with Yoko Ono about her her work and the work others. It's funny, Yoko, we're talking to you, and yet a lot of this work was done by these other people. And did you have any collaboration with them at all?
No, not at all. Wow. All I said was yes. Yes is what I said.
Well, and you gave them your trust, which they have
exactly.
repaid. I wanted to play, we're playing some of the more layered things. This is the one that Cat Power does, Revelations. Yoko, tell us a little bit about the song.
Well, you see, the Revelations is a song that I felt that the message is very important. And Cat Power is a band that's very, you know, sort of their own songs are very sensitive and strong at the same time and everything. And they didn't have to do it this way. They did it in such a way so that my message will come through too. And it just shows their sensitivity.
Bless you for your anger. It's a sign of rising energy. Bless you for your sorrow. It's a sign of vulnerability. Bless you for your greed. It's a sign of great capacity. Bless you for your jealousy. It's a sign of empathy. Bless you for your fear. It's a sign of wisdom. Bless you for your search of direction. Bless you for the times you feel no love. Open your heart to life anyway. In time you'll find love in you. Joy. Remember, you are loved. I love you.
That's Revelations from Cat Power as we are listening to music from Yes, I'm a Witch from Ono, and we're talking with Yoko Ono about her work and her art. And what's your attitude towards the marketplace? Are you happy to be a part of it?
Now, it's a very strange age. Okay, there's two industries in the world. One is war industry and the other is peace industry. And the people in the war industry are totally united. They don't even have to talk to each other. They know exactly what they want to do. They want to destroy, kill, and make money. But you see, the peace industry people, they're so perfectionist and idealists, so they're arguing endlessly. So we can't get together. And the fact that we have to really sort of embrace each other and understand each other and respect each other's way of doing things. And just the fact that we're in the same industry, which is peace industry, which is very, very important. And once we did that, then the peace industry will be just as strong as the war industry, or maybe more. And then that's when we have peace. That's when we can have peace.
I just wanted to ask you, with all you've done with your art, your music, your relationship with John, your stewardship of his music, your work for peace, what would you most like to be remembered for of all that?
I don't know what I want to be remembered for. I'm still not there yet, I hope.
But you're
maybe something I'm going to do in 10 years or something is going to be what I want to be remembered for, please.
Absolutely.
David.
Well, thank you so much for this piece of work. It's just it's just wonderful that what people have done with your work, and it's just great to have.
I just want to thank them and tell them that I love them so much. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yes, I'm a witch. Oh, no. Yoko, thanks so much for talking with us.
Okay, it was nice talking to you, David.
We'll be back in a moment here on The World Cafe.